What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Catching Heaters. I'm your host, Matt, and as always, I am excited to be here with you today. And today, baseball is back, baby. I am very excited to be talking baseball with you guys. That now that they officially announced yesterday that the players and owners and Manfred kind of set the schedule for 60 days, and we're going to have baseball here in the near future, and I am ecstatic. I am super excited. It was about damn time, I'm going to be honest. It's taking forever for them to get everything resolved, and I think in the next year or two, there's still going to be a lot of things that linger and things that are unsolved, but for now, we have baseball on the horizon, and that makes me very excited. Today, I wanted to kind of go into some of the new rules for this season that they are going to implement and go kind of detail what that's going to mean for one, baseball, the sports card industry and hobby, and in fantasy sports. I just wanted to take a few minutes and kind of go over some of the new rules and what the impact could be for the different hobbies that it affects. Very exciting though. If you are liking and enjoying my podcast, please go ahead and subscribe. Give me 5 stars. Give me some honest feedback. I would greatly appreciate it if you guys would do that. I'm also on the different social media networks. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on TikTok at Catching Heaters. Go check me out on that. I am putting content out and just getting into the community within the sports card hobby out there. Go check those out. So, baseball, let's get into it. If you are a sports fan, it seems like we're going to get baseball before anything else. So that's super exciting. And what does that mean? What is the new season going to look like? To start, they're going to have 60 games. And it looks like they're going to roll out spring training around July 1st timeframe and get everybody back, getting ramped up for the season. And then games will officially be starting July 23rd, 24th time frame. In the NL, they are adding the DH, and this is something that I discussed in previous podcasts and what that type of impact could be for the National League and in baseball moving forward. For now, it seems like it's just for this year, but I feel like this is something that once they do the negotiations moving forward, that this is going to be implemented. It's good on the player side. It's going to add an extra position for the National League and add some more excitement. I always have liked the World Series and how it has that back and forth, you know, between the stadiums and you having to kind of play the pitcher in with it and the managerial strategy that kind of comes with it when it gets late into innings. But overall, I think the DH is a good thing for the National League. It's going to just make the league a little bit more exciting. So I'm all for that. That is something that is very interesting moving forward. The schedule, what is that going to kind of look like? It looks like they're going to play 10 games each against everyone in their division, and the remaining 20 games are going to be interleague play. It seems like they don't have that exactly figured out yet, but the framework is going to be if you're in the AL East, more than likely you're going to play teams from the NL East, which makes sense because of the travel and everything that's going on. They want to make trips short and not have as much impact on COVID, and hopefully they can limit that with everything that's going on. So 10 games against everyone in the division, and then the remaining 20 games are going to be interleague play depending on where they're going to have them travel. What are rosters going to look like? This is something that's going to be very interesting, and we'll see how it impacts, one, the sports card market and other things. But to start off the season, the first 2 weeks, they're going to have 30 active players on the 40-man. After those first 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks, they'll go down to 28 players. And then the final rest of the season, they'll have 26 on the active roster. And instead, what they're going to do overall, because of everything that's happening with COVID and the chances that players are going to, you know, test positive, and let's be realistic, there's probably going to be multiple players And there could be multiple players on one team. Can you imagine if five players on one team, important players, get COVID and test positive? So they're expanding the rosters. They're going to have the traditional 40-man, and then they're going to have an additional 20 players that they're just going to have in the reserves, kind of like a taxi squad, per se, is what they're calling it. And it seems like those are going to be prospects or other players that they sign, have them within the facility, keeping them fresh, ready to go. That way, one, if you get injuries, which is a possibility with everything happening, and then also the COVID. So that's what's going to happen with the rosters. And those are kind of the main things. The last thing that a lot of people are talking about that I find interesting is the extra innings during the regular season. If it goes to extra innings, they're going to start a player on second base. So I'm sure a lot of teams are going to have a couple speedsters on their team for that reason specifically. And it's cool. They've done this in previous. I think they did it in the World Baseball Championships. And then in other situations, they've tried to implement this. I don't foresee it being something long term that MLB is going to have in their plans for a regular season. But it should make, I mean, for the short year and everything that's going on, they want to get as many games as they can. They don't want players to be playing long nights. So adding that little nuance or tweak to the extra innings is interesting, and it'll make it fun. It'll make the year more exciting. But those are the main changes within the rules. Now, what impacts are these things going to have on the sports card hobby, fantasy baseball? First, I want to talk about the 60-game season and what that means. I think it's going to end up being probably one of the best Major League Baseball regular seasons of all time. The reason being, this is going to be an absolute sprint to those 60 games. It isn't going to be one team just has a powerhouse hitting or a powerhouse staff, and they, over the 162-game season, they just outlast people and just inevitably are the best team. There's going to be teams that are going to get really sneaky, and if they come out of the gates hot, could really make an impact and make the races towards that 60 games really fun and intriguing. And I think once the season starts, we're kind of going to get soaked up in it and forget about everything that's happening, as long as they can complete it without COVID-19 impacting it. But I think we're in for a fantastic season. I want to give you two teams in the NL, in the AL, that I don't know if they're being underlooked, but I think with the shortened season, they really have a chance to get out of the gate hot and challenge a lot of teams that we already think are shoo-ins to make the playoffs. I don't think that there's any team that is an absolute shoo-in depending on how they start the year. That's what's going to make it so fun. So in the National League, the two teams that I think you should, you know, keep an eye on, think about their players, whether it's in fantasy, whether it's in the sports card hobby. I think the Cincinnati Reds and the Central are very interesting. Now, I don't want them to get hot and become one of those teams since I'm a Cardinals fan, but I also am being realistic here. They've added a lot of nice pieces, especially Nick Castellanos. They have a young outfield core. Eugenio Suarez is back healthy. The extended delay with COVID kind of allowed him to get healthy with his shoulder and everything he had going on. And then you have the veterans on the team. You know, you got Joey Votto, guys that have done it. And then I'm really high on their staff. I really like Luis Castillo. I think he's going to be a stud. So I think in that ballpark, with everything going on, they are a sneaky team in the Central, especially because, I mean, it's very competitive in the Central usually at all times, whether you're playing the Cardinals, Cubs, Pirates, etc. So I think that they have a chance to make a run. The second team in the NL is the Phillies. I've been super high on them. I really like what they're doing. I know I've talked in previous episodes and I'm buying up Bryce Harper. I really do think with what they have going on and they got a young core, and they also have some veteran presence. They have the best catcher in the game. They got Harper. McCutcheon's coming back healthy. You got Rhys Hoskins. So if they, depending on what happens, Bryce Harper's traditionally a guy that starts hot too. So if they get going and get the ball rolling, they can make it very interesting and the NL. Now, the two AL teams that I'm going to bring up play in the same division. I think that they are going to surprise some people with this short season. One is the Rays. They just have that style of team that's set up for this 60-game stretch. And I'm thinking back to last year, and they started out really hot to start the year. And a lot of that had to do with pitching. They still have Morton. You got Glasnow, who was on fire before he got hurt last year. So if he stays healthy and can kind of dominate the way he was doing, I really like the Rays' bullpen and the depth that they have overall on their whole team. You think about Wander Franco coming up, along with all the other young guys that they have. They really spray the ball around the field. They're a great team. They were fantastic last year and were right on the edge of making that run. I think that they could make a stretch here and get hot in the beginning and really test some of these teams in that division. The other team is the Blue Jays. I'll keep talking about that young core that they have. They signed Hyunjin Ryu, which is a great sign. If he stays healthy and has done what he has and has performed like he has in the past, I really like what he brings to the table. And you're talking about Bichette, you're talking about Vladdy, Gurriel Jr., Kevin Biggio, really young core. If they can get it going, and you know everybody's on the Yankees. Look, they're a powerhouse. That lineup is disgusting. No one's gonna debate that. The lineup is disgusting. But you think about pitching. It's not like I look at the Yankees pitching and I'm like, wow, that blows me away. They're going to be able to dominate. And the batting power and the way that that team is constructed, they usually over 162 are going to hit enough to where they're just going to demolish some teams. But when you're looking at how important these three-game series are, if you go up against a couple tough pitchers back-to-back and you lose a couple series, that stuff can trickle into a couple of games, a couple series, and if the Rays or Blue Jays get off hot, you know, they could really make a push towards that AL East title. So those are the two interesting teams there. It's going to be fun, guys. It's a 60-game season. I think we're in for one of the best seasons of all time just because of how fast and how quick it's going to go and how important every series is going to be. Now, let's talk about the new rule change with the NL and them having a DH. I've done a previous episode on this because I was forecasting that I thought that this was going to happen, and it looks like, obviously, that it has. It really makes it interesting for some players when you're talking about sports cards and also in fantasy. The impact of adding that additional hitter really just allows the rosters to open up a little bit, and you kind of can play against pitchers and use different guys in different situations. It'll be interesting to see how the NL managers adjust to that and how they're going to line up their rosters. I wanted to point out some guys that I had previously talked about before, and there's a lot of guys out there in the NL that this can impact, and it's not even the sneaky guys. It's some of the positional players who might get a little more ABs because of matchups or having that day off that they need and they can play another player in their field. So the ABs, I think, are going to come for some of these guys. JD Davis for the Mets, I really like him. Austin Riley for the Braves. Artis Aquino for the Reds. Now, the outfield for them is really jam-packed, but I think the DH really just plays into him. If you can get that bat in the lineup, he is a power machine. And it goes to what I'm talking about with the Reds roster. They are really deep, so they could make a run, and it'll be an interesting team to watch. Sam Hilliard for the Rockies. I really like him. He's a young bat in that outfield. He's a power-speed combo, and his rookie cards are going for very cheap from this year. If he is one of those guys that plugs in and he can get hot, he's an interesting guy to think about, one in fantasy and also in the sports card market. In fantasy, if he gets enough playing time, he could, you know, hit a substantial amount of home runs and steal some bags for you. And that Rockies lineup is really good. They're going to produce runs, obviously, in Colorado. So keep an eye on Sam Hilliard and also those players on the Rockies roster. The last three guys, I'm super high on Dylan Carlson. I think I've mentioned it plenty of times by now. Big Cardinals fan. I think he has big things coming for him with them opening up the rosters as well as expanding the DH. I think that the Cardinals are going to run him out there and let him go and play. I got really high hopes for him. I think he's in for a big year. So Dylan Carlson, check him out, both in fantasy and as far as sports cards go. The last two guys, Yoenis Cespedes. I haven't heard much talk on him recently, but the health concerns were there. But the more that this prolonged and that COVID's been going, I think he's been getting healthier and healthier. Man, if the Mets can add that bat to that lineup and they don't have to play him in the field and risk him getting hurt playing the field every day and just go out and, hey, Yoenis, go and swing the bat. I just want you to hit bombs and busies and we'll go from there. If he can be healthy, look at him in fantasy. I'm sure he's on a lot of waiver wires right now. I'm sure – I don't know about in the sports card market. I've never looked at his cards, honestly, so I don't really think he's a guy to go invest in when it comes to the card market. But when you're talking fantasy sports and what he means to that Mets team, if he can get in the lineup, he is a guy that's going to provide power, RBIs, and score some runs. So Cespedes, keep an eye. And the last guy is Seth Beer. He's just the traditional guy that – the talks on him is, look, if he was just in the AL, he would be in the lineup almost every day. So Seth Beer is an interesting guy now that the DH is available in the NL. Check him out. He's a young guy. I don't know card-wise if I'm investing in him, but I'm definitely looking into him when you're talking fantasy sports. So Seth Beer, check him out. Now, let's talk about the schedule a little bit. I mean, there's not a whole lot of dynamics. It's pretty straightforward when you're talking about playing 10 games against every team in your division, and then you're going to 20 of the interleague. But with the framework of that, you should have a good idea and think about the type of matchups that, one, either your players are going to be facing. So if you haven't drafted and you're trying to strategize, players in certain divisions might go against heftier pitching when they're having to see certain teams. Think about the NL with some of these great teams like Washington, and you got the Mets and the Braves all in that division. It's really interesting. That's going to probably be a challenging division when it comes for pitching and hitting. So think matchups. Look at the staffs on whose teams are going to be playing each other. And it correlates to what I was talking about with those sneaky teams making a big run with the 60-day season. And you think about a team like the White Sox, who is really young. The division, I wouldn't say, is super strong. You know, you have Cleveland in that division, but we're talking about the White Sox here. They could make a little run with that young core of players that they have if it's a sprint. So look at matchups. Look within the divisions. Those are things to think about. And who might have the easiest path when it comes to playing teams out of their division as well. So that's interesting there with the scheduling. I'm sure there'll be more clarity with that and exactly who they're playing. There's a little bit of time for all that to be released. So keep an eye on that. Last couple of things, we talked about rosters and how they're expanding them. Mainly I want to talk about what this could one, in fantasy it's going to matter because – they're going to have more players on rosters. They're going to be able to probably play lefty-righty matchups. So you want to hone in on guys that you know are going to have everyday at-bats, and then guys that, if they're going to be DHing, have the strong side of a platoon. So think about those factors that are going to play into the rosters and what it's going to mean and impact that is going to have. When you're talking about the card industry, a couple of thoughts that ran through my mind here with these expanded rosters. So they're going to have 30 players to start. And you think about the 40-man and the additional 20 players that are kind of the taxi squad fill-ins. What does this mean? So you have Topps Update Series 2 coming out. I think they're going to announce a checklist here in the next couple of days. So I'll be interested to see who they include in that. But what really excites me is Topps Update, because I read a report that the Mariners are basically filling their taxi squad with their top-tier prospects. So you think about Klinik, Julio Rodriguez, and then on the Mariners specifically, those two guys, and they have, you know, some others in the top 10 that you would consider. But also you think about some of the top-tier guys in baseball that are on that tier of making their debut. If they have them on these taxi squads and a couple players get COVID-19 and they activate them to get them some at-bats, does that mean that they roll into the 2020 Topps update? And if you have an influx of some debuts, some players, you could be looking at one of the best updates that there could be out there. I don't know for a fact that this is the way it's going to happen, but I'm kind of just speculating here. You think about guys like Wander Franco, you know, Dylan Carlson, Luis Robert, all these guys making their debuts and what it's going to mean and for their card values if they are getting their first card in the update. So just keep an eye on that. Keep that in the back of your head too with update, because it could be something that is highly desirable in the years to come if a lot of these players make their debut and they're added to the Topps update. So that's something I was thinking about with the expanded rosters and what that can mean. For me overall right now, what I'm thinking, the baseball market and general advice, just strictly baseball-wise, is it's kind of leveled off, and it's been slightly down with the hype of basketball going on. Everybody was all in. You can just see how crazy people are getting with basketball. They're buying all these young guys. And my advice on the basketball side is be careful, because once the playoffs start and a couple of these players don't play well and they get eliminated, you're going to see those card values go down. Now, what does this mean for baseball? Now that they have announced it, I think you're going to start to see the rise of people's and players' cards as we get closer to the season. If you're going to buy, here's my recommendation. I would buy in this next week or two before they start the spring training. Go in, target the guys that you want. I would personally recommend buying graded cards, specifically if you want to flip during the season. If you're looking to flip during the season, buy the graded cards of the guys that you want right now in this 1 to 2 week span. And what you're going to see is as the hype goes and you get into the season, if those players start performing well, you're going to get some monetary gains from that and a return on your investment. Those guys' values are going to grow. Now, with me saying that, I also want to tell you to be cautious, because what I can foresee is all this hype coming up. You need to understand the risk, and going in and expecting every player in baseball, all these young guys, you know, obviously I'm super excited. I hope all players would go and hit 350 and hit all these home runs. But if we're being realistic, all these young guys aren't going to come right out of the gate and perform well. There's going to be some guys that slump. And with the short season, if a guy slumps and that lingers throughout the year, it could impact his card values heavily, even though in the coming years he could be one of those highly touted players. Going in and overpaying right now for guys and not diversifying and going all in on one player, if they stink it up the first couple of weeks, you're going to see that you could get hurt in some areas. So diversify what you're looking at. Pick a couple players, hone in on them, go out, buy their cards now before these prices start to rise. And then hopefully if the guys that you're going after and you're honing in on perform, then you're going to, you know, reap those benefits and get a nice return on investment. But buyer beware, be careful out there. Don't go too crazy. Couple guys that I'm in on right now, and I'll give you the guys that I'm talking about. I'm a big fan of Bryce Harper. I think that long term it's a great hold, but I think he's in for a big couple years forthcoming. Not even just this year, but coming up in the next couple years. He's traditionally a guy that starts very strong when it comes to a normal season. If he gets hot the first month and he's putting up gaudy numbers, you might see a nice rise in his cards. The other two guys, a young guy, Vladdy, I think he's cheap. I talked about buying him in another episode. And I know in another episode when I had the buy, sell, hold, I'm saying hold Soto. I would also be buying some of Soto's cards. I think long term he's a great investment. And then like I've mentioned as well, Dylan Carlson. Those are some of the guys that I'm honing in on. I really like Carlson's upside. I think he has a strong chance to put up great numbers. So those are some of the four guys that I recommend. Look into them. Of course, do your own research. Hone in on players that you like, that you think are going to grow in value. Have a plan in place of what you want to do. At the end of the day, I'm just super excited that baseball is back, guys. This is fantastic. I can't wait for sports to get going, whether it's baseball, basketball, football. I hope I hope that everything pans out and everyone can stay healthy and COVID doesn't impact the seasons negatively and we can kind of get back to a little bit of normalcy. Obviously, some of that isn't totally realistic. There's going to be a couple of things that come up during the year, but I have a feeling once the season gets rolling, we'll be able to work through all that. And look, sports are back. I'm super excited. Let's get the ball rolling. Have fun out there. Happy collecting. If you're doing drafts and fantasy, good luck to you. Always feel free to reach out to me on the social media networks. I'm always happy to give advice. You can find me at Catching Heaters on all the platforms. Any questions you have, whether it's Dynasty League, whether it's drafting, if it's card investments, I'd be happy to give you insight on whatever my thought process is, and hopefully that can be helpful to you. Thanks again, guys. Let's have a great week. Baseball is back. It is a wonderful thing. Come see me next time on a new episode. Thank you so much.